Thank you, Lord. What I'm going to share this morning is about the heart. And you know, when you go to a doctor, you know, one of the first things he'll do, you know, maybe just, you know, like you might even go for something else, you know, for some ailment or something. But often out comes the stethoscope and he'll check your heart. Okay, that's, you know, that's their job is, okay, you've got this, but we need to check your heart. And I think God is much the same. He loves to check your heart, to see where you're at, to put the heavenly stethoscope on you, to see if your heart is really beating for Him, to see if your heart is in with the rhythms of heaven, with what heaven is doing and with what heaven is saying, that your heart is in good rhythm, and you know, that your heart is just so for Him. And I think that is just so important. And you know, David said we have to be willing to submit our heart. Sometimes we want to hide from God. No, oh God, I don't want you checking up on me. I don't want you. Hey, our words should be the words of David: create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. And that would need a heart checkup. And during the week, God was just sort of speaking to me about wells, and they're mentioned in the Bible. And wells are really a picture of our heart. And I just want to share that, how a well is really how our heart also operates. And we know the story in John chapter 4 about this, about the Samaritan woman who came to the well. She came in the middle of the day because she was a Samaritan woman. She was a Gentile woman. The Jewish woman who always went to the well for water came in the mornings and the evenings. And it wasn't in a sense safe for a Gentile to be there at that time, because they were reviled. They were, you know, they were just pushed down. They were, you know, they were just thought of as nobody. But she came in the middle of the day when there was no other person around except Jesus was there. Because I've no doubt that as in his time with the Father, his Father would have showed him that there would be this woman that you were going to have an encounter with. And when she came to the well to draw natural water, the well actually became a river of life to her. The water becomes a river of life. See, the well is your heart. Your heart is to become the river of life for people. As you share your heart, as your heart comes forth, a river of life comes forth from your heart. That's why it's this. The scripture says in Proverbs, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. From a well flows the water that in the natural it feeds us and keeps us alive, but also in the spiritual, a well, meaning our heart, becomes a well of life, a flowing well of life." So what do we do with the river? Because a well flowing out of our heart becomes a river. What do we do with the river of revelation that... Or what did she do with the river of revelation that was flowing out of Jesus? What did she do with that? He was telling her all about her life, all about, you know, what she had done. He knew. The woman got into the river as it was flowing. You know, the river is always flowing. We've got to get into the river as it's flowing. There's something in us that would like to think the river is like a train, and somewhere along the line it will stop at a station and we get on board. But we don't. We've got to get into the river while it's flowing. It's so important, because we can miss our moment. When we try and say, well, I'll wait for another opportunity, I'll wait for another time, it looks as though it might be a bit fast for me. Hey, you've got to get into the river while it's flowing, because you will miss the moments. How many moments have you missed because you hesitated? How many moments, even in the Spirit, I find that the Holy Spirit moves in a meeting, and we can so easily miss the moment. Sometimes it's literally less than a second, the moment the Holy Spirit is there, and we can miss that moment. The Holy Spirit flows or moves like the wind. The wind just comes and it just goes past you, and we can miss the moment. Comes and goes, it can go past us, and we can miss that moment. I just want to have a look at that story, a very well-known story in Genesis chapter 6 about Isaac coming to the wells that his father Abraham had dug. And I think there are many things in this story. As I said, wells are a picture of a heart. I was blessed when Ewan shared on Sunday night, after we had been soaking and praying and just waiting on God. He was a man that was willing to share his heart that he has for God. He bared his heart of how he loves the Lord, of how he just wants more of God. And it wasn't, you know, sometimes you can get some people, it's kind of like a little bit of hyper talk in there, you know. Well, I must be seen to be saying the right things. You know, you kind of get people that kind of have a bit of a mixture sometimes going on. But I saw a man that was genuinely hungry and wanting the heart of God in his life. And so that's what I mean. I could see the well. I could see the well that was in Ewan as he preached on Sunday night. And it was a blessing to hear that. See, Abraham had dug the wells in a, if you like, a generation before Isaac, before he'd moved on. But the Philistines had come. And this is in Genesis chapter 26. The story is about where are we? 15 through to about 22. We'll go to, but I mean, I'm not looking at it in absolute detail or anything like that. But the Philistines, who represent the works of the flesh. The Philistines are the spirit of the world. You know, the spirit of the world are the works of the flesh. The works of Abraham had flowing wells in the area of Gerar. And these wells used to produce flowing good water that was productive water. But the works of the flesh of the Philistines had come. They occupied the area, and they had come and they had stopped them up. There are many churches that once flowed with the Spirit of God. They flowed, a well of water. The well of the water of the Spirit was flowing through them. But what stops them up? The works of the flesh come in to churches. Man's pride, man's wanting this and wanting that. They come in And man wanting to dictate what can be done and what can't be done, and how much of the Holy Spirit we allow and how much we don't. And in many cases, it turned out that they didn't want any of the works of the Holy Spirit, but they wanted their own pride and their own flesh. That was going to be the main agenda in their churches. And no wonder churches got stopped up and were buried. And in many cases, as many churches that started off in the Spirit, ended in the flesh, and now no longer exist. And, I mean, we know that. And so Isaac came in verse 18. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, and the Philistines had stopped them up. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. And when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there was a well of flowing water, it came up. He managed to get the water flowing in the well. But then there came issues between the herdsmen of Gerar and the servants of Isaac. They quarreled and they argued. Two factions. I see in many churches there are the herdsmen of Gerar and the servants of Isaac at war with one another, arguing over the move of the Spirit, arguing over the water of the Holy Spirit that's beginning to flow. And so there was contention, there was strife, there was all the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:22 gives you a list of the works of the flesh, and there's envy and jealousy and competition, and you can read the list. There's quite a long list of the works of the flesh. And then, well, it might be 5:22, we come to the works of, or the nine works of the Spirit: love, peace, joy, etc. The contrast between the two. Well, I believe the key is in verse 22 of this scripture. And it says that Isaac moved away from there, Gerar, which actually means a place of dwelling, just a place to dwell into. It seemed a good place to have wells, but arguments and strife came. And, you know, it's hard to have a church without contending and conflicting points of view. Some want this and some want that. There's often that tension between. And sometimes people leave because of issues. People leave because of issues. Did you know that the condition you leave a church is how you'll be when you enter a new one? And you'll begin to pollute that with exactly the same things that you left the old place over. How many times have you seen that over and over and over again? Disgruntled, dissatisfied, grumbling, complaining, issue-seeking people leaving a church and taking them and dumping them on the next church. And I believe that time has got to stop. But in verse 22, here is the key. And Isaac moved away from there, meaning he moved away from Gerar. That was a place of contention and strife and issues that were breaking for, and dug another well. I tell you what, God's getting ready for new wells to be dug. Hallelujah. We've got to get away. We've got to move from the old way where it breeds competition and strife and all that sort of thing. We've got to move away from there. We've got to move. It may not necessarily moving away physically. We've got to move away from what's in the well of our own hearts that's causing a lot of strife and envy and jealousy. What are these things? We have to move away from that because God is about to... God is about to have new wells dug, I believe, right around the world. There's going to be new water flowing. There's just new things, and that's going to require a new heart. The heart is going to be the issue, I believe, in what God is about to do. We've got to have hearts that got the that have a well like the woman. Like the Samaritan woman that I talked about of John chapter 4. She got on board the river and went with it. And she went into the city and she began to tell everyone about what Jesus had done for her. And many came to the Lord through her testimony. I believe that's how the church is going to be. Hey, we've got to have a testimony. There's a few of us that have got a testimony of where we've got issues with our church. We've got this and we've got that. I tell you what, it comes out. It comes out. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Hallelujah. I just read something on the Elijah list last night, this article, and said, God is wanting His church to see and hear far more than we're seeing today. And it means that we may have to keep our mouths shut a lot more. We're very quick with our mouths, but we're very slow to hear and see. And this prophetic voice was saying, God is about to change that. God is about to change that. There are things that we've got to keep our mouth shut about. It's only between you and God. Hallelujah. Whoa, Jesus. And so he moved away from there, and he dug another well, and they did not. This is verse 22 in Genesis 28. And he dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, and named it Rehoboth, place of rest. The church has got to come into that place of rest. Trusting God. We sang one of the songs was about trusting God and the new wine. When we trust God, we don't have to worry. We don't have to get into all these issues. We just got to trust God. And it says that there's a place of rest. The water was flowing. No quarrels. And Isaac said, at last the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. I believe not only does the Lord make room for us, we've got to make room for Him. It's a two-way thing, I believe, that goes on. The Lord is... His heart is, He wants to make room for us. At the same time, we've got to make room for Him. Room for Him to flow like He wants to flow in the churches. Hallelujah. It's time for new worlds. I believe even new forms of church are going to come out of what God's going to do. It may not be like what we're having totally here today. It's time. There's something new. Because God says, behold, I do a new thing. Isaiah 43:17-18. Behold, I do a new thing. Forget the former things. Forget the former things. Will you not be aware of it? Will you not be aware of it that I'm doing something new? There's going to be a highway. And new highways are going to be built. The highway of holiness, I believe, is going to be the major highway in what God is going to do. That we must travel, the unclean will not travel on the highway of holiness. And there will be rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. There will be lots of water flowing when God begins to move. There's going to be water just flowing, rising up out of us, rising up out of our well, rising up out of our heart. There's going to be, God is just going to use us for just to be unlocked and untapped, and water coming out of us. It's just going to be there everywhere we go, because he's going to do a new thing, and we've got to arise to the new thing. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I really believe what God is saying, and I just noted down this thought came to me. Before revival breaks out in the city, and there's going to be new wells out there in the city, new wells of where revival breaks out, we've got to have the waters. We've got to have the water flowing on the altars and in the aisles of our churches. Because I believe God is saying, if we don't have the water flowing in our churches, God is going to find a new way. God is going to find a new way. Hallelujah. And what we've... See, we do not want to become irrelevant. I believe the church has become less and less relevant to society as the years have gone on. And God is about to turn that around. If we just stay irrelevant, God is going to start something new. Something new. I remember when I got saved, I went to a church, what was then becoming a charismatic church. I had been an Anglican, raised an Anglican, been relatively nominal, but I still attended from time to time, but right out there in the world. I went from four hymns on a hymn board, hymn numbered this, hymn numbered, you know. You always had four hymns during a service, to a totally, totally different form of worship. Totally different style of preaching. What I went from to the charismatic, it was like so much like chalk and cheese. It was like God was doing a new thing. God, there were people that could no longer, when I got saved and born again, I could not stay where I was. It would have brought death to me. I had to go where there was life, where there was water flowing, where there were wells that were flowing, where people were excited, where people had testimonies of what God was doing. It was life to me, and I had to stay in that life. I had to stay in that life. And I believe, we think, whoa, what about today? I tell you what, God can do exactly the same thing today. If we think we've got it all right now, I believe we've got another we've got another thing coming. We'll have to, I don't know how God's going to break out and what the structures and what the things will be like when he moves, but I know it's going to be awesome and it's going to be glorious. And we've got to be like the Samaritan woman at the well. Get into the river no matter how it's flowing. No, whether it's too fast for us or too slow for us or too whatever for us. We cannot look at that. We've just got to get on and say, God, I'm on board. I see a lot of people smiling and on the inside saying yay and amen. We've got to be where God's going. We've got to be where God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wow. Hallelujah. We're just going to look at one more example. Exodus 15. Time's getting on. I'm just about there. Exodus 15. Hallelujah. Just very quickly. You know, the people had crossed the Red Sea out of Egypt. They were out of Egypt. And in the early part of the chapter, they were rejoicing. Moses and the sons of Israel sang songs to the Lord. Miriam was there with a timbrel, and they were dancing and they were singing, and they were rejoicing. Amazing. And then Moses, in verse 22 of 15, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. And for 3 days, wilderness, they found no water. You know, without water, we will die in the natural. They say about three or four days, isn't it? Round about, if you have absolutely no water and no food, it's critical that we have water. I believe it's the same in the Spirit. Without water, without the water of the Spirit, we will die. We will die. It doesn't take long. I've seen people just go in the Lord when they're not drinking of anything. They drink or drinking of the wrong stuff. They die in a very, very quick time. And so they came to Marah, where there were waters, but they found that they were bitter. It appears that Marah wasn't a well or a spring. I think it was just like a stagnant pool. Do you know, if you become stagnated, it's so easy to become bitter. If you become the grumbling, if you stagnate, the grumbling starts, the moaning, the everything that's wrong, the negativity comes out of stagnation in the Lord. We cannot stagnate in the Lord. Our whole attitude and countenance just changes. I don't know about you, but I love to stay alive in the Lord. I love to stay alive. Oh, I do not like the signs of stagnation. So the people grumbled at Moses. Immediately, they grumbled. They'd just been celebrating. They'd just been rejoicing. That's how quick, after 3 days, 3 days earlier, they were singing songs and praising the Lord. 3 days later, they were grumbling. That's how quick the enemy can get a hold of us. And don't forget that. We cannot lose our edge. We cannot lose our fire. We cannot lose the water of the Spirit. And they cried out to Moses, "We've got to blame someone." Suddenly it was Moses' fault that he took us out of Egypt. It was Moses' fault that he took us out of through the Red Sea for this stagnant, bitter water. And so Moses cried out to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? The people cried out to Moses in grumbling and moaning. Moses cried out to the Lord. I think there's a key there. Moses cried to the Lord. When things go wrong, I think the first inclination, if things go wrong in church, is to cry out to your pastor and grizzle and groan and cry out to the leadership. Cry out to whatever. They must be the fault. They are the problem. Of course it's the church pastor that's the problem. Well, that's how many people think. And then they start thinking, well, I need to change this. I need to change what's happening. You can see the cycle. They get disgruntled. Eventually they leave church and they take it to the next church. Like I said before. Anyway. And the Lord showed Moses a tree which he threw into the waters, and it became sweet. Wow, it became sweet. I always wondered at that. He showed him a tree. I wonder if it was a giant carry. How did he, on earth did he, you know, see where I'm going? I don't know what sort of tree, but I believe the picture is Jesus hung on a tree. And he redeemed us from our old life of bitterness and grumbling. He redeemed us. It's a picture, I believe, of looking forward to the cross. The cross that we would be set free. We would be set free and we would have sweet living waters forever and ever and ever in him. If we choose to drink of that water. Hallelujah. It also says in verse 26, if you give earnest heed to his voice and what is right and commandments, he will put none of the diseases which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. The well-known scripture, I, the Lord. I tell you what, if we need to be a church that attracts the healing power of God to move in our midst. See, there was a promise from God to this people. If they would heed the voice of the Lord and do what was commanded them, he would heal them of their diseases. We're going to see a major move of healing in the very near coming days as God pours out his Spirit. Our hearts capture the pouring out of his Spirit. And our hearts are captivated by God again. I believe the awe of God has to come back to the church. The awe and the amazement of what God is doing is going to grip our hearts. It's no longer going to be ho-hum. So what? The awe of God is going to grip his people. And we're going to have a healthy heart towards God. I believe God wants to touch people in this place right now. If you need healing for your body as we finish today, just stand where you are. Just stand up. I believe we have a measure of the water, the river of God flowing in this house. It's going to get more, but I believe there's enough for God to come and touch bodies this morning. I see hearts that are hungry for God. And no matter what you've got, the promise of the Lord is, for I, the Lord, am your healer. He meant it. He meant it. And so long as the children of Israel had their heart towards God, he moved among them in miracles. Why can't he move in amongst us in miracles and healings? It's all about your heart. It's all about your well. I believe there's many here that have a well and a heart for God. And God says, I am your healer in this place today. Father, stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to heal. Hallelujah. Touch bodies. Touch minds. Thank you, Lord. Lord, reach down into these ones, and Lord, just one touch. Just one touch is all it needs. Father, touch them and grace them with a body that's been healed and a testimony that's been healed. Just let the Lord do it. Just as you do that, oh, Beth, if you just want to share, because I know as you share a testimony of healing, it brings faith. It brings faith.
Last Sunday when Trish organized the fire tunnel, I don't know whether it was her or you, Clive, that said at one point, if you've got some sickness in your body, believe that God's going to heal you when you go through it. And I've had problems with my knees for years, especially my right knee got damaged quite badly years ago. And it got exacerbated before Christmas, and it's been causing me huge trouble. And I've been insisting on doing my exercises and digging my gardens, but the only way I could do it was if I had this big support thing over my knee. And it's been hurting every day since Sunday. I haven't had any pain. I've been out in the garden digging without the support knee. God has done a wonderful thing.
Hallelujah. Let that encourage you. Let that encourage you right now. What he did last week, he can do today. What he did with one person, he can do for you. What he did for Beth, he can do for you. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. We want the big and the stupendous, the huge right now. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Put your hand on that part of your body if that's possible. I'm not whatever. That was just a near that area. God knows. But hey, and let him put his hand on your hand. And healing be conducted into your bodies. Father, release these ones. Set them free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we bless you. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we say, let the wells of God arise. Let my heart arise. And let the river flow. And let the river flow. Let the water flow in this place. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. We say, God, there's going to be testimony after testimony of what took place because... Hallelujah. I submitted my heart to you, Lord, and I received a fresh infilling. Let everybody say, bless the Lord. You're my healer. You're the one I love. You're the one I'll always follow. And I'll go out of this place filled with the Spirit. Oh, and giving glory to God wherever I go. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord.